If we'd open our Bibles this evening to Acts chapter 13, and we'll read from verse 48 for our text. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Let us pray. Dear Father, we come humbly tonight before your great throne of mercy, knowing that you are the author and you are the finisher of our faith. And if it was not for your great love, we would be condemned sinners tonight, Father. But we thank thee, Lord, for you are the God who is rich in mercy and rich in grace. Help us, therefore, to also be filled so much with your grace that your grace will overflow to others, and help us to be so thankful for the mercy that you gave to us that we'll have mercy the same for all others who desire mercy. For we ask this humbly in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died in our behalf. Amen. You may be seated. Now, Sunday, we closed our reading from paragraph 112 of Brother Branham's sermon, The Spoken Word is the Original Seed, where Brother Branham said, "Now, wait a minute. I can't pass this by, see? Jesus was the seed of Abraham, fleshly speaking. Is that right? A predestinated seed of Abraham. And when the Spirit fell on him, what kind of a life did he bring? He brought a faith life. And what kind of a life? You mean he was going to be a sojourner like Abraham? Well, that's where people get so mixed up today. They try to think that a man of God has to do this or follow this or do that. Oh, mercy, no. How was Christ the seed of Abraham? Well, not so much in his body. That seed of Isaac finally fell and died. It backslid in hybrid too. We'll get to that directly, see? But the faith seed of Abraham, that he believed God's word regardless of what the circumstances was, well, there you are. Whew, you know, I feel like shouting. Look, see? Look, the faith of the seed of Abraham, what is it? Not Abraham's body. But Abraham's faith. Abraham's faith in what? The word of God. No matter what come, he called anything contrary to it as though it wasn't. Wouldn't that rip up these denominations to pieces? Well, it sure would. If the truth of even marriage and divorce was only brought out in its light that is here in this Bible, it'd break up every church in this city, any other church, try to get back to it. Both sides wrong. I can prove it by the word. They're both wrong. All right, whether a man should do this or do that, or a woman do this or that, I'm not going to say it because I got enough confusion amongst them already. See, but Jesus said, let them alone. The blind leads the blind. Why? They fuss about it. They wouldn't believe it. If they was born to eternal life, they'd believe the word. See, that's right. But if they don't, God will manifest himself to them. And if they don't believe it, why, they won't believe it at all. That's all. Let's get to this first verse now. We might get to that a little bit later on, but let's take care of the first thing and see why we must believe these things, how we got to believe them. You must believe them. If you don't, you're lost. You are. Believe what, Brother Branham? You? No, sir, not me. You believe me, and I'm just saying the word. I'm not putting anything here. I'm just telling you what the Bible says about believing the word. And that's what I've done, is try to believe that word just the way that it's wrote. I don't add anything or take anything. I just read it the way it is. It is, and I believe it. See, just like that. And by the grace and help of Almighty God, he's confirmed it and asked anybody to disprove it. See? Now, you on the tapes, come do it. Tell me one time that I ever told you anything wrong and it didn't come to pass. Tell me anything, any time that God ever confirmed and worked it just exactly according to the way that it was said. All right, well, predestinated as he was, it makes the word see the same water on what? This church today is a bride predestinated. Did God say that he would have a bride without spot or wrinkle? Then it's predestinated, isn't it? See? Well, Christ was predestinated. He was a royal seed of Abraham. And what did it do? When the Spirit come on Christ, he bore record of the Word of God. And when the water, the Spirit, falls on the Word seed, the royal seed of Abraham's faith, and God's Word will produce the same kind of a crop. You say, well, I don't believe that. All right, well, let's find out. Let's go down and see if we are Abraham's seed. Let's go to Genesis 17. Go back in Genesis and get the 17th chapter. I'm leaving a lot of these things off here, and I've got to hit some of them in here because some critics might come along and say, well, I don't believe that. So we'll just place a little bit in there so that he can stop him from saying it. See? All right, 17 and 7. Let's start at the 6th verse. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful. Now he's talking about Abraham's seed. And I will make many nations, that's Gentiles and all, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant. Now watch, between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generation for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Now, Sunday we showed you both seeds, the seed of Abraham, and then those who claim to be his seed. But as Paul said, not that which is physical is counted for seed, but that which is by promise. Now in Romans 4 and verse 13 we read, "For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law." In other words, it didn't come through the law. It didn't come through an act of his flesh. But it had nothing to do with the promise of God. But it came through the righteousness or the right wiseness of faith. And we know that faith is revelation, something that's been revealed to you. So it came through revelation. "For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void," Paul says, "and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, and not to that only which is of the faith, not to that only which is of the law, but to that which also is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all." Notice he tells us that if it were not by promise, but if it were by the law, and what we do or do not do, then it would not be a sure thing. But being that God promised it, it's an unconditional. It is a sure thing, for God cannot lie. "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed," even God, "who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were." In fact, that is exactly what the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 9 and verse 7. "Neither because they are seed of Abraham are they children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called." Now in his sermon, Abraham's covenant confirmed, Brother Branham said, "And we find that we are being dead in Christ, we are Abraham's seed, and are heirs with Father Abraham to the promise. Then if we are Abraham's seed, we find out that we have to have faith of Abraham, or we are not Abraham's seed. And what is the seed of Abraham? It's the Holy Spirit," amen, "which comes through Jesus Christ. That makes us, we receive the Holy Spirit, then we are no longer Gentiles, but we are Jews. And the Jew by birth is not a Jew," Paul said. He said that. Paul said, "That which is Jew is not that outwardly, but that inwardly. That has the faith of Abraham, the father Abraham. And if we are Father Abraham's seed, then we take every promise God made, no matter how ridiculous it looks like, how it could not happen, but if God said so, we believe it anyhow." Again from his sermon, "Who is this Melchizedek?" Brother Branham said, "Then we find out that the Jews, some of them received him, some believed him, some didn't. Why didn't they believe it? They was not ordained to life. They wasn't part of that attribute. Now remember, them were priests and great men. And Jesus, now think of those theologians and priests, men that you couldn't find a flaw in their life. Jesus said, 'You are of your father the devil, and his works you do.' He said, 'If you'd be of God, you'd believe me. If you can't believe me, believe the works that I do, for they testify of who I am.' Now the Bible said that Jesus is the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus said, 'The works that I do, shall he that believeth on me do also.'" That's right. Notice, that was the real Melchizedek now. Now Brother Branham said, "Now why didn't they believe it? They was not ordained to life. They wasn't part of that attribute." Again, Paul said in Romans 9, verse 18, "Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardens. Thou wilt say unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that is formed, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor?" Notice Paul's telling us here. He says, look, the facts remain that God is sovereign, whether you like it or not. And he will show mercy on whomever he wishes to, and whom he also wills he will harden. They will be hardened because whether they want to or not, he's going to do it because he's sovereign. Then he uses the illustration of the potter and the clay. And that is the example Paul gives us. Do we then say to the potter, why do you make the vessel a vessel of honor out of the same piece of clay that you make another a vessel of dishonor from the same lump? And Brother Branham was making the same point when he said, some believed it, some didn't. Why didn't they believe it? They were not ordained to life. They wasn't a part of that attribute. Then he went on to talk about those men who were ordained to condemnation. He said, now, remember, them were priests and great men. Think of those theologians and priests, men that you couldn't find a flaw in their life. Jesus said, you are of your father the devil, and his works that you will do. He said, if you'd been of God, you'd believe me, but if you can't believe me, believe the works that I do. They testify who I am. In other words, if you can recognize vindication and shut your mouth, maybe there's something there. But if you can't, then you're just lost. It has been said of those men, the Pharisees, that some of them lived so perfectly concerning the law that you could never have pointed a finger against them concerning their lives. These were remarkable men. They were not wicked men, at least not outwardly they weren't. These were not men that dwelt in dens of iniquity. These were God-fearing men who thought that they were living lives that were pleasing to God in every way. They tithed of all. They gave to the poor. They studied the Word of God to the point that they could pass a needle through a scroll that had been rolled very tight. And they could tell you every letter that had passed through on its way through. They knew the Word of God backwards. They knew it forwards. And yet they were rejected because they were not His own. You know, when Jesus said, they'll say in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we not do this in Your name? Didn't we not do that in Your name? These weren't a bunch of slackers. These were people that were zealous for God. And yet He said, depart from Me. I never knew you. Again in Matthew 7, verse 21. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto Me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of My Father which is in heaven. Many will say to Me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name, and in Thy name cast out devils, and in Thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from Me, ye that work iniquity. It all comes down to election and predestination. And what Brother Branham was saying here is that if you're not seed of God, then you will never believe because you're not ordained to believe. Then if we look at the same thought, we can also apply it this way. If you were ordained to life, you will believe, period. In fact, that's what God told us, the very same thing in Acts 13:48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life did one thing, they believed. Now, you can read that any way you wish to, but it all says the same thing. Those ordained to eternal life will believe. Why? Because they're ordained to believe, and the others are not ordained to believe. Did not Jesus say Himself in John 15 and verse 16, you have not chosen Me, but I've chosen you and ordained you? Did not the Apostle Paul teach us in 1 Corinthians 2 and 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that have come to naught? But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deeper things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. In other words, the very reason, the very purpose for us receiving the Holy Spirit is that we might know the things of God. Notice that Paul tells us that the wisdom of God was ordained before the foundations of the world for our glory, and it was kept hidden from others. And then he goes on to tell us that all those who receive the Spirit of God in them through the baptism of the Holy Spirit will know and will understand the things of God, but all others will not. Then he quotes the prophet Isaiah saying the very same thing. In fact, Jesus Himself even quotes this very same quotation in Isaiah of Isaiah in Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke chapter 8. But let's just read it for ourselves, Matthew 13 and 10. And the disciples came and said unto Him, why do you speak unto them in parables? And He answered and said unto them, because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, even that which he thinks he has shall be taken from him. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not hear, understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. And their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. And he that received the seed into stony ground, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy he receives it. Yet hath he no root in himself, but endures for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises because of that word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, it chokes the word, and the word becomes unfruitful. But he that receives seed into good ground is he that hears the word and understands it, which also bears fruit, and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Now look, we just finished hearing what Jesus was telling those who are ordained to hear and understand, and there are those who are not ordained to hear and to understand. And I don't think that he could make it any plainer in telling this parable. He sums it up by saying that those who hear and understand will bring forth fruit, and all others will not. Then the fruit that God wants for us to produce can only come as a result of understanding His Word. And if you do not understand it, you cannot bear this fruit. Oh, you might have fruit all right, but not the fruit that He ordained for you to bear. That can only come through understanding His Word. And to understand His Word does not depend on your individual prowess, but upon His giving you an understanding. That is why he tells us in 1 John 2 and verse 27, "But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you in all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." And in verse 20 he says, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth." So we see that there are those who have been ordained to life by God, and then there are those who are ordained not to believe His Word. So we have those ordained to life, ordained to believe the Word. Those not ordained to life do not believe the Word. All others that are not ordained to life will not believe, but will be deceived and will deceive others. In Matthew 24 and verse 4, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, I am anointed, and shall deceive many." So we see there is coming a time of deception. In Matthew 24 and verse 10 it says, "And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many." Notice Jesus is telling us that the deception will take, well, it'll just take in many. It will not be just a few, but many. And look at the effect that it will have upon all mankind. "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Now as we continue to read in the book of Matthew, Jesus tells us more about this great deception that's coming. In Matthew 24 and verse 22 he says, "And except those days be shortened, no flesh shall be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I told you before, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chamber, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together." Now, where the carcass comes, that's where the fresh kill is. That's where the food for the hour is, not the food that's been laying around from generation to generation. In Romans 16, verse 17, Paul says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they are they that are of such, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but only their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches they deceive the hearts of the simple." Notice here that Paul warns us to mark them that do not teach the doctrine as taught by him. Then he tells us to avoid these people because their purpose is to deceive. And furthermore, don't place yourself in a position that you will allow yourself to be deceived. Because a man can repeat to himself a lie so many times, he'll finally believe it. You know, it's like the fish story. You know, the guy comes home, he caught maybe a 6-inch fish. But by the time he gets home, it's a foot long, and next time he tells it, maybe 18 inches long. And if he tells it that way long enough, he finally believes it in his mind that it was 18 inches long. You see, from lean not to your own understanding, Brother Bram said, you know, the Bible said that you can believe a lie and be damned by it. See, that's exactly the truth. They form, no matter what the Word of God says, they lean to their own understanding. They lean on it. They believe it. They think that it's the truth. You can keep believing a lie over and over and over till it's the truth to you. That's right. But how do we know whether it's the truth or not? God proved its truth because it's in His Word and He vindicates it. He does his own interpretation of it. How do they get to this? They do it by their culture, by their education, by their understanding of the degree of doctor's degree and so forth, that they have come from some certain seminary and they learn these things. So you see, you can believe a lie to be true that you once knew was a lie. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3 and 18, he said, let no man deceive himself. So you can deceive yourself. That's why the Bible speaks of a willful ignorance. And the Apostle John said in 1 John 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive only ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So what is sin then? It's unbelief. Because if we believe not, that's what sin is. Jesus said so in John 16 and 8. He said, when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. So Jesus said, you're not believing in him. That's what sin is. And so God set in the church gifts in the church to remind the church of these things and to teach us the truth, that our own natural unbelief will give way to the truth, because once you have received the truth and then are able to be deceived, it shows that you're not seed. In Ephesians 4 and 11, and he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. So there's not just, it's teachers plural, pastors plural, evangelists plural, prophets plural, apostles plural. It's not just one, you see. For the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Under the perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So notice the ministry of the fivefold is to take you the opposite direction, away from deceit, away from deception, away from those who could sway you and lie in wait to deceive you. And it's to bring you to perfection. It's to bring you to maturity. And that has to come through the knowledge of Christ and of the Son of God. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, and there's only one faith because there's one Lord, and of the fullness of Christ and the knowledge of the Son of God. So a preacher that does not give you knowledge or present to you the knowledge of the Son of God, well, he's not a fivefold ministry. Because this is what they're supposed to do. So don't think that there are not men out there whose motives and objectives is not to deceive. Because God's own word says that they will lie in wait to deceive. Now Ephesians 5 and verse 6 says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. So notice we find again that the deception only comes upon the children of disobedience. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 1, we read, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the parousia of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him at that time, that ye may not soon be shaken in mind, nor be troubled, nor neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except to come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So what he's saying here is that, look, he's saying, brethren, he's saying we're waiting for the parousia of Christ. But let no man deceive you and tell you that's the second coming, because it's not. There's got to be between the appearing, which is the parousia of Christ, between that and the coming, there's got to be a great falling away first. You see? Well, they've got to have something to fall away from. And that's this message, you see? The deception comes on those who have fallen away. Why? Because they open themselves up for it. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10 it says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that are perishing, because they receive not the love of the truth for that they might be saved, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, and that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in an unright wiseness or in a wrong understanding. Now we've been talking about unbelief and belief. Those ordained to believe and those ordained not to believe. Or those ordained, just they can't believe. Brother Branham said that some believed it and some didn't. Why didn't they believe it? He said because they was not ordained to life. They wasn't part of that attribute. In closing, we read from 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law. In other words, that word transgression means goes beyond the limits of the law. For sin is the going beyond the limits of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither hath known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness or right wiseness is rightly wise, even as he is rightly wise. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, does not initiate sin. For his seed, God's seed, remains in him, and he cannot initiate sin, because he's born of God. Getting back to what Brother Bram said, some believed it, some didn't. Why didn't they believe it? They was not ordained to life. They wasn't part of that attribute. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you for this service. We thank you for your word. Realizing, Father, that it was short and sweet, quick. And yet, Father, we know that your word cuts coming, cuts going. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of the marrow between the soul and spirit. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would help us, Lord, to understand that some are ordained to believe, some are not. Help us not to fuss with those who are not, but simply to recognize, Lord, that there are simply, it's a matter of biology, it's a matter of spiritual birth and spiritual origins. Either we're from you, if we are, Father, we cannot help but be seed of Abraham and royal seed, having the same faith that Abraham had, believing those things which we cannot even see. And Father, there's others who got to see it, they got to taste it, smell it, hear it, or they won't believe it. And we feel sorry for those people. Father, we ask that you would help them. But they're ordained to condemnation, Father, and your elect is ordained to glory. And that word glory, we know, comes from the Greek word doxa. And so we know that's the opinion, the values, and the judgment of God. And so we know that the elect is ordained to believe. They are ordained to your values. They're ordained to your opinion and to your judgment. In Jesus Christ's name, we commit ourselves to them. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace. And give thee peace, and give thee peace forever.